You are listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Toilet Radio. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got 365 Days of Horror and Brenicide. And we are back with another hard-hitting episode looking at the issues that affect each and every one of us. But first, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I have vacation this week. But other than that, really not much else going on. Just a much, much needed break.
Tight. What are you going to do with your time?
Oh, God, like a whole lot of nothing. Just a complete staycation, like couch surf, watch Netflix, binge eat, you know, the usual.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, stuff I do after work, just
more,
you know,
of it.
during work hours now, yeah.
Tight. How about you, Jordan? What you got going on?
Not too much. I'm just trying to think of the last time I took an actual vacation. I think I've gone on one in about 15 years.
Maybe you should take a vacation.
Yeah, but I'm, like, weirdly scared of taking a vacation. You know, not just the fear of whatever, going somewhere weird and not speaking a language or getting lost or any of the little things when you actually travel somewhere, but also just the horrible knowledge that all of my work is not going to get done, is going to be waiting for me a week later and just piling up on my desk.
So if it's I've been thinking about this a lot, there's this service, it used to be called Odesk, now I think it's called Upwork. Basically, you can hire people all across the world to do a specific job for you. And often, like, it's you're contracting with people in, like, Ukraine or Bangladesh, and they work for, like, you know, $15 an hour doing incredibly complex work, stuff that's, like, way above anything I know about. So you could just hire one of those people to do your job for you while you're on vacation, and you'll actually come out ahead at the end.
Or your fucking cheapskate employer could. Actually, yeah. You know what, Jordan? I don't know what you do for work. what do you do for a living, man? What situation are you in where you just can't leave?
Oh, believe me, it's not that critical. I just work at a university.
Oh.
So yeah, but you could also just consider extending that idea of hiring that third-party person to do your job just all the time, so you never have to go in again.
That's
the dream,
little,
isn't it?
Yeah. Can't you get some smug little intern to do it for you?
No, they don't have interns.
At the university?
No, they have, you know, student workers.
Yeah, work studiers, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they want students dealing with, like, faculty salaries or anything like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Bunch of punks. Anyway, Well, I'm actually headed out of town this weekend. I'm going to California. Gonna go off to San Francisco. Gonna mine for some gold and such. Go to a bougie wedding.
I've never been to the West Coast.
Ah, it's great, man. I love San Francisco. I mean, like, it is a libertarian hellhole, but I love that city. It's great.
Oh, too bad.
My dad actually went to San Francisco State University, where he got his master's degree, and he said the people out there have no souls.
I agree.
Which is kind of a funny thing to say, but when you're out there, it's actually true.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. It's going to fall off into the ocean like any day now, and I just want to enjoy it occasionally before it does. Also, every time I go, I've got a little ritual. I wander around Chinatown until I go to this super shitty bar, have a couple of drinks, and then go buy a Lucky Cat statue.
Sick, the one that has like the waving hand perpetually.
Yeah, I've got a collection of like 10 now.
they're just waving in, you know, dissonance.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be like a beckoning movement, the cat saying, hey, come here and gamble. And they provide me with all the good luck that I need. Anyway.
Lucky cat is a beckoning symbol? It's like they've got the paw going the wrong direction. It's like, get away from me.
Well, yeah, it's backwards with a different culture. Yeah. Anyway. I figure we should probably do this because you, Breno, have been requesting this for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. It's
and every
it's
week,
not that important.
Every week I've been like, no, fuck you, Breno. We're not going to do this.
No, we just get into better subjects. It's interesting you talk about backwards culture because
let's be careful with that phrasing there. I don't think I said a backwards culture.
No, that's what you said. We got you on recording. You can't edit out this one. What I've been kind of bringing up to the guys for a long time, and this happens, God, like every few weeks maybe in the sort of metal news circulation somewhere, they report on some story of some like celebrity of some kind or some sort of pop culture icon walking around with a t-shirt with a heavy metal band on it, essentially.
Yeah.
And the reaction goes from, you know, basically my reaction, which is, you know, who cares? Why are we writing about this stuff? To just absolute pants shitting meltdowns.
Yeah. It's, it seems like the internet, the bloggers out there, they got their fingers on the pulse. They know that this is something that moves the needle. I know the dudes at Metal Sucks. If a celebrity wears a metal shirt, they are all over that like flies on shit. to their credit, in the post, they write like, oh, it doesn't matter. This isn't a real thing. But, I mean, they're also reporting on it. They're feeding the red meat to the angry masses. They can't get enough of these outrage clicks.
I feel like Mr. Rosenberg said, like in the first line of the last one he posted, he was like, you know, I don't care about this stuff, but I know you guys eat this shit up. So it's just like pretty baldly going out there and just kind of putting out what he's really doing.
Hey, morons, have some more fucking chum.
Yeah. Right.
So it's been a thing, and I've been putting it off because I'm like, well, this isn't really even worth talking about. But man, if Dee Snider didn't like fully like go crazy old man on this, and now we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Dee, you know, for the younger listeners, he was in a band called Twisted Sister that was a thing back in the day. I'm not sure exactly when they were a thing. That was, I don't know, not too many records exist from that era. I think it was Paleolithic. Not sure. But he went on a Twitter tirade the other day, which apparently Dee's on Twitter. Follow him at Dee Snider. Said, gotta say, this new trend of non-metal fans wearing vintage metal tees is pretty sickening. Metal is not ironic, dicks. It's not just the wearing of our metal tees, it's their cherry picking of our style. Hashtag skulls. Hashtag metal horns. These are our symbols. Our image. That's our word.
It's so fucking hypocritical. It's like the most hypocritical thing anyone's ever said. As if Twisted Sister wasn't just a huge parody mocking, like, glam metal at the time. And now he's going off about, oh, metal is sacred. Don't fuck with metal. It's not a joke.
I've given D props on this show before for the way that he stood up to the PMRC back in the day. And Tipper Gore's weird witch hunt of offensive music. And again, I never understood why exactly Twisted Sister was included in all of that, because they're very inoffensive. Like, I can't think of... It's a cartoon ideal of rebellion. You know, like, their videos had the angry dad, like, what are you listening to?
Well, that was the reason they were included, is because... the angry dad's associated with the angry dad getting blown up like Wile E. Coyote for 4 minutes.
Oh, that kid murdered his dad in every video.
Yeah. That's right. Or the teacher, the pissed off teacher. It was like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off kind of storyline where the teacher's getting fired out of a cannon or whatever the fuck happens. I don't know.
He accidentally swallows dynamite and steam shoots out of his ears.
Right. He tries to push a rock off the cliff, but then falls off the cliff, and then the rock falls on him, and then there's a big dust cloud at the bottom of the desert cliff.
He finds another cliff, chases after the kid, still keeps running in the air before realizing that he's no longer on solid ground, and then at that moment plummets after pulling out a small umbrella to try to soften the blow.
Or a picket sign saying, uh-oh, or help.
All of these things happened in Twisted Sister videos. You can go to YouTube right now and check them out.
Check them out. They're great. The reason they included Dee Snider, and Dee Snider mentioned this in the 5 billion VH1 interviews he's done about this, patting himself on the back. They said, oh, they're going to get – he said that their point of view was they were going to get some stupid dipshit rocker out there in the car room and make an ass of himself. And Dee Snider had, like, barely an education, so he went out there and, like, used complete sentences. And, you know, like, mainstream rock and roll has been patting him on the asshole ever since.
That's a new phrase for me, patting him on the asshole, but I'm going to use that a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for, guys.
But yeah, I can't argue with anything you just said there. I don't know. We can continue with his Twitter tirade if you like.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Lots of people hit back on him with this. It's like, maybe it's a kid takes a kid liking a t-shirt to start a conversation about said band, and kid is open to a whole new world of music that they might not have. D's like, wouldn't that be nice? But I mean, like, that shit happens all the time. When I was a kid, I found out about new bands from t-shirts all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's t-shirts are cool. Like, that's what they are.
Before you had stuff like Spotify and the like, Google, whatever, you had to go into the record store and check out the metal section and look at some really sweet album covers, you know? And, like, I've definitely bought shit based on album covers. Back, especially death metal, you know?
Yeah. And I do like this kid that replied to Dee Snider. He said, in all fairness, you stole it from Screaming Jay Hawkins. Which I think is what this all gets back to. Because this screaming about appropriation that Dee Snider... He uses those words, appropriation.
Yes.
And that it's been taken from metal. But, I mean, metal's entire image... the primary image you think of in metal is stolen... abjectly from BDSM gay circles in London circa the 70s.
Like, sure. Or at least at the tamest, like, biker culture or something.
Yeah, either bikers or... Yeah, to be fair, the BDSM culture did take from biker culture. So, I mean, like... But I bet there's... I don't know, what is the word for it? Converging circles between the two.
I think that's a safe bet.
Venn diagram... intersects a little bit.
Yeah.
But and going in further back to, as this guy said on Twitter, like, metal was an extension of rock music, which was entirely stolen from black people to begin with.
Right.
If you want to scream about appropriation, like, let's go back to the roots of all of this shit. Like, it's cool that D has had a career doing his rebellious rocker thing, even though he's, like, 65 years old still. It's like... you got to have some humility. You didn't necessarily build this whole thing. As a matter of fact, I, looking at the perspective that I have it, you know, as a 30-year-old that's been listening to metal most of my life, it seems like you had a fairly bit part, actually.
It's just like, it just goes to show you how hard white people will struggle to
be oppressed
yeah. somehow. Yeah. It's like, I've seen that word that you mentioned, appropriation, thrown around a lot in regards to this. If you just type in metal culture appropriation, there's tons of articles that use that hot button phrase right there, saying like, you know, metal culture appropriation. You know, there's something by Up Rocks. There's something by more recently Alternative Press. And they're just openly lamenting about like freaking Kanye West walking around in a Megadeth t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I found an article on the appropriation of metal culture from 2008 in Metal Inquisition, which used to be a cool site. I don't think it's been updated in like fucking forever. That was one of the sites that Sergeant D used to write for back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, at least like, I think it was Klaus that wrote this one. He seemed to get it a little bit, but you can't help but tell he's a little butthurt about this still. he's like, remember way back when hipsters started to wear mesh trucker hats? Clearly the intended message was that a well-educated white kid was slumming it by putting on such wacky attire. Facial hair and mullets soon followed, then high tops. So now that metal is being used ironically all over the place, question remains, where does metal rank in the world of subcultures? So, back 10 years ago, this guy is complaining that metal was being ironically repurposed by people who have no interest in the genre. And I would argue that metal is ironically repurposed by people who do have an interest in the genre. See everything yeah. we've ever published ever.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you can't, if you can't laugh at yourself, you need to, I don't know, go burn down a church or something. Like, truly prove how true you are.
It's like I like to say, like, these guys have just been copying the mainstream look of like 80s nerds for the last 30 years. So it's just everybody's pointing at each other and calling each other a poser, but we're all doing these things because we saw some other metal guy do it, or we saw our favorite metal band dress this way or look this way or have their hair this way in some sort of music video. It's just like, you know, in a genre where we're all supposed to be like, oh, true to ourselves and true to our music, it's like, you know, we're probably some of the less likely people to do it, or least likely people to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Jordan, what's your take on this?
I'm just shocked that we're getting this kind of take from someone who was on Celebrity Wife Swap and Celebrity Apprentice.
Christ. I had no idea.
Yeah, H1.
Celebrity Wife Swap with Flava Flav.
So is that like a Key Party thing?
But, you know, made for television audiences.
Okay. Okay.
But in all seriousness, this whole thing is kind of like a big cognitive dissonance that happens a lot within the metal community. Like, we have this argument saying like metal is sacred and people shouldn't steal our symbols and our looks and our logos, and then in the next breath we'll say like metal's accepting and everyone's welcome.
Yeah, as long as you look and act a certain way and your music sounds very narrowly like one or two genres. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be above that. Like,
or
I really don't like what the kids are into.
No.
So I'm pretty much the same. Like, I'll go ahead and shun the dudes who are putting together dubstep infused metal, but like I can't deny that those people are probably the future and we're just complaining old assholes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody in metal is welcome as long as you're a white man over the age of 29. So.
Yeah. If you have a lot of tattoos and long hair, you can be accepted.
You have to wear the uniform. You have to have the leather jacket or you have to have the battle vest. You have to have the long hair. You have to have whatever, a beard or something like that. And I just personally, I definitely do not look like someone who listens to metal.
No, nor do I. And I think that's for the best, to be honest. You can surprise people and let them think that you're a normal person.
Yeah.
And then it's too late. They've interacted with you.
I do now, but it's kind of just out of like a laziness and an anxiety over the barber. I hated going to the barber, man. They'd always get it wrong, so I might as well just keep it right.
I've been thinking about this all day because it was so silly to me. Jordan, you posted a picture from Metal Without Context this morning of a bunch of kids who surely play dubstep metal, and I can't get over their get-ups. Like, it's very fashionable bros indeed. One guy's
Is it like? There's like V-necks, and then there's like this guy who's wearing, I don't know, a U-neck or something like that.
Yeah, my favorite is the guy who's wearing like a super tight t-shirt with this scarf wrapped entirely around his neck, like all the way, like a neck cast. But that's the future, man. The future of fashion in metal. That and Metallica.
Yeah,
they're,
definitely.
They're always at the forefront of fashion. Brenna, you were showing me their new line.
Yeah.
Which is, it's taking their logo and putting it on a t-shirt. And, you know, as they've been doing for 30-something years, but this time you make a change and you put a bunch of fucking dead-eyed, disaffected London teens in it, and you can charge $200 for a shirt.
Right. There's an article on GQmagazine.co.uk, not the regular GQ website. Why Metallica's collection with Justin O'Shea is mega.
Read that again. Read that again.
Why Metallica's collection with Justin O'Shea is mega. The word mega. It's a very strange word to bring up in the conversation regarding Metallica.
Well, I mean, it's mega. Not necessarily. Like, I mean, if you want to go back to Mechanics, the song was, you know, written by Dave Mustaine of Mega.
My favorite
Death.
Metallica song. Yeah.
Well, are we sure that they weren't trying to say Megazord?
Megazord. This headline in the picture immediately beneath it is a 1-2 punch of like, get the fuck off my lawn.
I immediately agree with everything every stupid white nationalist, like freaking just moron ever said on Death Metal Underground when I see this picture and this headline. I'm just like, they're right. Get out of my fucking genre. Don't touch my stuff.
I've never been a model. I've never really taken a photo. There are no photos exist of me, but I feel like the photographer is telling kids wearing these get-ups like, okay, now look at the camera and pretend that you're completely fucking brain dead. Pretend that you have no cognitive function whatsoever. Open your mouth up a little more so it looks like you're drooling. Perfect.
Okay, kids, that was 8 hours in the heroin den. Come on out.
Oh, yeah. Is that the look that they're going for with like the pallid skin and everything? Like they're just, you know, nodding out in the photo.
Heroin Chic is in again.
Cool.
I think that's just people from London, but I don't know.
Probably. My lady had on a European horror movie yesterday, and I couldn't get over, like, no one in this movie weighed more than 120 pounds.
Well, it's changing soon, thanks to the prevalence of places like KFC showing up in like South America and Africa. Everyone's getting fat like us.
Hell yeah.
Man. Yeah. I love when people in the UK talk about how fat Americans are, but it's like, if you look at like their obesity rate, they're catching up. They're in that eating contest with us and they're gaining steam.
I never want to hear anybody from England complain about the things that we eat.
Oh, Mom, look, could you go to the shop and get me some fizzy drinks and lollies and crisps and chips?
Or like some spotted dick.
Boy, what's all this Mars bars then?
There's just one guy I follow on Twitter, and it just amazes me. It would amaze me if he didn't live his life in, like, constantly recurring diarrhea as an Englishman eating the things that he eats. Just disgusting. across to me on a weekly basis. He's like, oh, making myself some homemade poutine. He like fucking cuts up frankfurters and shit on top of it and like puts some garbage cheese I've never heard of on top of like some stupid French fry brand that I don't even know about. In the microwave, of course.
Gonna wash down my blood pudding with some room temperature beer.
Oh. I can't wait to listen to this Gore Grind album you guys are writing right now.
That's a great concept. Gore Grind, entirely about British cuisine. Let's get to work on that after this episode. So I mean, like, I don't get it that I wish that it was so easy that I could just tell some asshole famous designer to put the Toilet of Hell logo on a t-shirt and suddenly it's a $500 jacket or a t-shirt or whatever the fuck. It blows my mind. How did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I was reading a lot of sort of back and forth with different artists, and Power Trip, our boys on the up and up, they're actually famous for kind of putting out these really goofy t-shirts in like, you know, thoughtful attempts in trying to reach new audiences. Like they have this one where they have like the Kool-Aid guy purple, and I forget what he says.
It's sort of like rap. It's We Trippy Maine.
That's right.
and there's another version of that shirt that has like a quote from Juicy J on the back, just slightly changed. It said, "You say noted drugs, Power Trip can't." by the way, I just sold my size medium We Trippy Maine Power Trip t-shirt because I can no longer fit into it. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
But
size medium.
Those guys have done tons of shows with rappers. Like if you listen to our episode that we did with Riley, like we mentioned specifically a show he did with Tommy Wright III, who's like this super underground Memphis trap dude, like who's been doing it since the 90s. So like that's a pretty deep cut. They know what they're talking about, and like I really think, like, not to sound all hokey and you know, New York Times columnist-ish, but I think that iPod really changed everything, and that people were more easily able to access all kinds of different music at once and just mix it all together. Just, like, throw the shit in a pile, and suddenly there's no difference, like, for me listening to, like, Cryptopsy and then immediately listening to Project Pat.
No, I totally agree. It kind of just took the concept of the mixtape and just blew it up in this way that is seemingly endless. I mean, we all remember, like, what was it, the 120 gigabyte hard drive iPods they used to have?
Yeah.
You could never fill those things up. And it's just like, I think the same thing kind of goes for services like Pandora and Spotify. You have these like just kids who will listen to dubstep in one song and then on random go to the Black Dahlia Murder as their next song, and then go to like Carly Rae Jepsen as the next song, and they won't blink an eye. They don't care. They'll just listen to anything and everything because it's right there for them.
Hell yeah. And that's the way like it should be, to be honest with you. Like, enjoy all kinds of shit. There's no limit to the great music out there. If you don't stop with like thinking you can only listen to a certain subgenre of metal, like expand all of it. Listen to pop, listen to country, listen to rap, listen to opera if you're some kind of a effective weirdo.
Yeah, or jazz.
Or what? Jazz,
if you're like an even more effective
weirdo. No. Don't listen to jazz, no.
Oh,
come on.
That's the line.
I can't do jazz.
Yeah, just edit out any mention of jazz we just did.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
It shouldn't exist.
Bleep it like it's a bad word.
But yeah, no, I think that at the end of the day, people just are having a hard time coming to terms with the fact that metal fans, quote unquote, now are more just metal listeners. You know, they're all just consumers, and you know, we all have the same money and the same access to the same stores to buy the same T-shirts, and we need to kind of fucking get over this strange gatekeeping culture that we've built around ourselves for so long, because it's just not a thing anymore.
No, it's not a thing, and it makes us one step closer to the disgusting like nerd culture rejects, the people that get super serious about Marvel products, you know, the multi-billion-dollar a year company. like, at the end of the day, this is all consumer goods that you're getting super serious about. And
Definitely.
Consumerism is not rebellion. It's a bad idea to build your identity around the Big Bang Theory or Funko Pop toys or any number of these things that you can go out and buy.
Or Big Bang Theory Funko Pop toys.
Right, that too. Those surely exist, right?
I'm almost positive. It's like in my mind's eye right now. Some fucking Sheldon with a thing that looks like it should be a head bobble, but it's not a fucking head bobble. I hate Funko Pops. Fuck them.
Bazinga.
I think the Fun Pop things are the single thing keeping FYEs alive.
They don't even pop. They don't do anything.
I was going through my Facebook feed the other day. This woman that I went to high school with, apparently she got a custom Funko Pop like for her birthday or something. Like, they made one of her. proving that they've done it for everything now. Like, you can even get one for some random fucking dude.
Which is so interesting because it's like, I mean, if you just go to the store where they sell Funko Pops, you could just look at the wall long enough until you find something that looks exactly like you. It could be any random stupid actor or character from some stupid TV series. It's like, just recently they just put out a Funko Pop for, I think it was, the girl's name was Denise from Stranger Things, like the older sister. Like, who gives a shit about that? Who wants an action figure?
How many of those will you realistically sell? Like, two?
Yeah. I think it was part of a free giveaway. They were doing some sweepstakes.
I want a Funko of Barb, just like.
Oh, I can Google you a Funko. Yeah, I can Google you a Funko of Barb. I know it's there.
How about a Funko Pop figure of a Funko Pop figure?
Ooh, meta. I have one. I own one. It's on my desk right now. It's the Xenomorph from Alien. But I felt
dude,
like...
I did too. Yeah, I got the Xenomorph from Alien and Macho Man Randy Savage, and I say it's the best tag team in history.
Jordan, will you admit to owning one of these horrible fucking tchotchkes?
I have not purchased any for myself, but I have purchased them as gifts for my girlfriend. She has the three members of Baby Metal, Agent Carter, and Lumpy Space Princess from Adventure Time.
Nice. Have they done The Simpsons yet?
Probably.
Cause
I think so.
All right, I gotta Google. Simpsons, Funko...
I mean, they have, like, 80s style
Metallica.
Holy
shit, they have a lot of them. They have, like, a lot of Simpsons Funkos.
Right, and they're not attractive. They got those black, beady eyes.
Dude, yeah, they look funny.
They look murderous is what they look like.
Scary as shit.
The Krusty the Clown one absolutely will murder you in your sleep.
To get back on topic, there's, like, tons of Funko Pops for metal musicians. Like you said, you got the Baby Metal ones, but it goes deeper than that. There's, like, definitely Metallica ones and the, like...
Like, deep mustache Hetfield pop figure.
Right, yeah.
They've got a Lemmy.
That's what I was thinking.
They got Guns N' Roses. I feel like there's a huge missed opportunity by not having Gwar Funkos.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Gwar is huge in merchandising. I think that they need to get on that.
Yeah.
I thought Gwar's not as fun anymore now that Odorous has left this earth.
I disagree, man. I've seen them twice since he passed, and both times were really good. They had new storylines for both of them, and I'm sure they've got a new storyline for their upcoming tour. Like, plus, they're going to be playing with Ghoul. Like, that's a 1-2 punch. If you're into getting messy, like, while watching a band, that's a definite must.
I don't know. I don't know if I can get over it. I just... Odorous was fucking hilarious, man. Like, some of the interviews he did on TV and stuff like that, and, like, being on Jerry Springer and the like. I know that a lot of the brains behind the whole Gwar situation and the special effects, certainly, they're all still in the band. But I don't know. Maybe I should warm up. Stop being such a chungus.
I think Gwar is the last thing we have to, like, a folkloric tradition in America.
Right.
The tales are passed through the band. The knowledge is secure through the bloodline. From the slave pit to the stage.
Yeah, when people say, white people don't have culture, you'd be like, well, we still have Gwar.
Mm, that's right.
Gwar and Insane Clown Posse. Checkmate.
Sweetie.
Hey, white people has plenty of cultures, okay? We got fizzy drinks, lollies, bangers and mash. And, what was it? Speckled dick. What was it?
Spotted dick. Although speckled dick might be a thing too. You just have to see your doctor about it.
I don't know. It's more speckled than spotted.
Yeah, use private browsing to double check.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So, I don't know. Getting back to this stupid appropriation thing. I intentionally avoided reading about any of this because it seemed dumber than hell, but we decided we were going to do this show, so I read about it anyway, and I'm fucking mad about that. Apparently Justin Bieber put out a tour t-shirt I thought was actually kind of funny. Like, the front of it is just a bootleg Marilyn Manson design from the 90s, and the back says, "Bigger than Satan, Bieber," in, like, his metal font underneath it, which is funny as hell. But then I was horrified to realize he was selling these shirts for $195. Who has the money to buy this shirt? Like, that is ridiculous to me.
People who bought it.
Would you ever spend $195 on a t-shirt?
No, not even like, Lemmy played his last show in this, and it's his favorite band, and I'd just be like, no, just $95, I gotta eat, sorry.
Jordan, I feel like you might, right?
Absolutely not. I agonize over spending like $60 for a video game.
I don't. I wait for Steam sales. I built like $1,000 computer just to get around that shit.
I normally wait because I can't, I don't know, it takes me forever to get to play a game. I just don't have much time, but I did go out and spend $60 this weekend on the new Wolfenstein,
I want to play that, but I gotta wait. I'm not willing to pay $60 for a game.
I like how their marketing campaign angered all of these like stupid fascist chuds so much. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and vote with my dollar on this, and let's try to get that up the charts.
Fair enough. It works. We could get into that all day about the fact that it's like fucking Wolfenstein. The whole point of the game is just blowing up zombie heads. Nazi heads. Or Nazi zombie heads, depending on which one you're playing.
Yeah.
But, it's just like this game's been around for 30 years, and we've just been shooting, like, Nazis and Hitler and the like in this franchise, and now all of a sudden you guys are mad? It's like, oh, they're getting political now about it?
I don't know. It seems like some of these people could stop and be like, maybe this white nationalist ideal that I've been throwing my full weight behind is wrong because I'm associating myself with Nazis. It's like the old Mitchell and Webb look sketch. Our hats, they've got skulls on them. Are we the baddies?
Right. Yeah. It's just like, how long do we need to do this until you know that you're wrong? Like, just objectively and completely. I've seen so much stupid takes from so many people about things like, you know, first of all, Marilyn Manson beefing with Justin Bieber about his tour stuff and his t-shirts and things like that. You think Justin Bieber was like on his Mac at 11 o'clock at night just designing the shit out of this sweet ass logo? No, the kid had nothing to do with it. He was, you know, balls deep in some random blonde like he always was somewhere else in a hot tub while everybody else did all the work for him.
I fully believe that he was just taking bong rips and said, "Yo, I want a Marilyn Manson t-shirt," and someone said, "Right on, boss."
Yeah, there were like 20 people with notepads all around him ready to go and do whatever stupid thing he needed.
Like get him more weed for his bong. They don't do any, he has zero creative input in anything he's literally ever done. He just looks pretty and sings nice. That's his only job.
God, I wish I was talented and pretty because that sounds awesome. Joe, you don't have to think about anything. Just get your ass out there and sing a song. I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
No, and I just, this is the thing. Like, people shit on Justin Bieber all the time, and I'll use the words talent and Justin Bieber in the same sentence. The kid's a great singer. He hits every note you ever give to him. I mean, it's like, they auto-tune some of it, but guy's got a beautiful voice. You've heard him live. It's like, that's what he does. But he doesn't write any of his lyrics. He doesn't write any of these songs where it's like, oh, that sounds like it's about his ex-girlfriend. Some other fucking chungus did that, you know, and to create the hype around the fact that Justin Bieber's writing about his ex-girlfriend. It's not real, you know. They just throw him in some studio and say, here's your singing coach. these are the you know, keys you need to hit, and we're gonna go over the lyrics and we're gonna bang this out until we get to the next one.
It's from what I understand is that recording modern pop music, it's more like, we're gonna get this done in two takes or less, or we're gonna fix it with the computer and you're out of here. We have to bang this out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, exactly. That's my sentiment, I suppose. But like, to get mad at Justin Bieber for like his metal fonts, it's like there is not a smidgen of creative input from him. He'll defend it, sure, because that's his brand, you know. So he'll say something stupid on Twitter about it or whatever, but he won't like actually have any say in it.
Also, where is anybody getting off like feeling sympathy for Marilyn Manson?
Like, also true. Yeah,
you guys are familiar with the person, right? Like,
you've been around the last 30 years, right?
I see that. It's like pop star beefs with pop star.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's millionaire versus millionaire, and the best result of that is that they, I don't know, hack each other to little bits.
I think that Justin Bieber's executive producer is definitely a billionaire, but he himself, I don't think so. I think he likes big shiny things too much.
Yeah, I imagine that this guy buys like a quart of promethazine every week.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. I mean, that's one thing. So there's that. But another thing, like let's say Kim Kardashian wearing these Metallica shirts, and everybody flipping out about the fact that the Metallica T-shirt is some vintage purchase that you have to pay $275 for, or like $2,000. What was it? Some ridiculously high inflated number for a vintage Metallica shirt. It's like, can we just kind of agree that Metallica is like the Disney World of metal? Like, how does nobody like know who Metallica is? Is it like these kids, all these stupid heroin glare kids, they all know who Metallica is. They might not like their music, they might not be into it, but I mean, they're fucking huge pop megastar millionaires. They've been that way for decades.
You guys remember reading about that the designer that was making battle vests for the stars and like charging shit, it was like thousands and thousands of dollars for a vest that had, you know, a handful of cool patches on it.
Oh, you mean like that was like Chris Brown, right? Yeah, he was going around in that movie. Yeah.
It was hideous too.
Oh, it was awful. Just
it's like terrible.
but it makes me smile that like some, you know, fucking weirdo metalhead dude realized like, oh, this is a fetish item for this particular super wealthy client, so I will absolutely sell it to him at an inflated rate. Like, that's what you should do. Good job, man.
Yeah. Right.
If you got more money than sense, you got to be taken for a ride. That's how it goes. So metalheads, you've got all kinds of shit in your collection. You don't need it. Find a way to sell it to somebody who's rich.
Yeah. Extra money for the stinkier it gets.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, do you really like Anthrax? Nobody likes Anthrax. You can move some of that merch onto one of the members of...
of Megadeth, the band that's not as good.
Oh, right.
I have a question. This is a metal question, actually. Has Anthrax ever headlined an arena show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Recently?
Probably in the last 10 years, sure.
In the United States, or is this like a European festival?
Okay, who do you think they opened for?
Metallica?
If not themselves. No. That's that one dumb Big Four show where people paid $500 to go sit in a fucking baseball stadium and pat themselves on the asshole about being in a metal show.
I just know currently they're on tour, or they're going to be on tour again with Killswitch Engage. And I mean, they're like switching off headlining shows, but that's not an arena tour.
Yeah, the most recent was like Lamb of God, right? And I believe Lamb of God was a headliner.
Lamb of God was the headliner for the Anthrax show?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, didn't they just, when they released that album from last year that wasn't good enough for me to remember, About All Kings or whatever, I'm pretty sure they headlined a show for that.
Was it stadium show? Club show?
Well, it depends on what you, I mean, a stadium?
A club.
A club, yeah. It's one of those shithole bars. But it's like, what the fuck? Okay, so the better metal bands are playing arenas? Come on, guys. Come on. What the fuck is this?
I didn't intend to turn this episode into another one where I shit very necessarily on Anthrax, but
it's your weekly segment.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you guys ever bought a metal shirt because it looked cool and you didn't actually listen to the band?
Yeah, I think the band was called Megadeth.
Fuck you. Okay, answer the question seriously.
No, yes. I think I bought a Morbid Angel hoodie before ever hearing a song of theirs when I was like 14 years old.
They got a great logo.
Yeah, and then after buying the hoodie, I then went on to, I felt bad and like a poser, so I went on to listen to as much of their music as I could to feel okay and to have the researched opinion about them so that if anyone ever asked about it, I wouldn't be caught dead as a poser.
So, I mean, maybe Kim Kardashian did the same thing after people gave her shit about wearing a metal shirt. Maybe Kanye's a big Cradle of Filth fan now. I could honestly see that.
I couldn't, but that's okay.
Jordan, have you ever bought a metal tee without being familiar with the band just because it looked cool?
No.
No?
Shut up.
Yes, you no, are. I really haven't.
You're so perfect.
No, it's not a perfect thing. It's just, why would I spend money on a thing I don't know or possibly like?
Fair. I went to this house show and saw Magruder Grind and a bunch of other grind bands years ago, and the only band that was selling merch there, like, I think they had played earlier in the day or they were going to play much, much later, and I was not sticking around, but the design of the shirt was cool. It was like this hand-drawn mountain, and it was like $10, and I had a good time, so I bought that tee, and I headed out the door, and then, like, I wore it around for a little bit, and then somebody asked me, like, hey, do you like that band? I'm like, I honestly don't know. I'll go check them out. The band was called Touche Amore, and they fucking sucked.
I was hoping that, like, maybe there were secret Georgia O'Keeffe flower vaginas on the shirt, and you hadn't noticed, and someone pointed it out.
That'd be rad. I'd buy that shirt.
I was thinking they'd be, like, I thought it was, like, an NSBM band or something you weren't any the wiser of.
No.
Which happens.
No. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true, I guess. I don't know. I haven't accidentally encountered any like Der Sturmer shirts in my travels.
Oh, I thought this was a Joe Strummer shirt.
Oh my
God. One of the guys we associate with, he had like ordered a CD, and I think he was like lamenting on Twitter about how it had like a sun wheel on the back of it once he flipped it over, like at night. Just really randomly, just like somewhere over the copyright or something, was just a nice big sun wheel.
I'm trying to remember which label it was, but like they, in addition to, I think it might have been Kelsey that put in this order with this label, and in addition to her order came with like a poster that was like some super anti-Semitic band. It was like, kill all the Jews. It's like,
that's,
oh,
right,
cool, yeah. let me hang that up.
It's like years ago, in the eBay days, I got a VHS tape of like hooligan fights just all throughout Europe.
Shit. Okay.
Just something funny to watch. You know, here's people fighting because you're a dumb 14-year-old. And the guy included a sticker for, I guess, his website. And it was micetrap.net. I was like, whatever, I'll check this out. It was not a good website.
No.
What was it?
Oh, it was. I mean, it was just selling like screwdrivers, CDs, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, I get it now.
Man,
I got real nervous.
I'll be honest with you. I don't see a huge leap from like watching bum fights to enjoying NSBM or Rock Against Communism punk.
Sure.
They're both on kind of an equal playing level of morally depraved.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna release NSBM music, and I'm gonna have a sticker in each one that says, check out my new website, lemonparty.org.
Oh, yeah.
Meetspin.com.
That's right.
I always had this idea that I wanted to make a new black metal band, but have all the songs and lyrics be in Yiddish, but try to get on like a NSBM label and get all these Nazi shitheads to be really into a super Jewish metal band.
That'd be a great idea.
I like that idea. You should do that. Do you know Yiddish?
Just phrases here and there, but you figure it out.
Yeah, it's worth a try. So I believe correct me if I'm wrong, because you know much more about this, but I feel like I was told Yiddish was initially going to be like the official language of Israel before deciding to go with Israeli language. Or is that what it was, like trying to recover this lost language?
Well, I think it was because after World War II, a lot of Yiddish speakers were moving to Israel. So I think it was thrown around as an idea. I mean, Yiddish is a combination of German, Polish, and Hebrew, but the national language is Hebrew anyway, so it kind of worked out.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that I could learn something today.
It's an interesting language. Now we're kind of getting off on a different thing, but I think at least currently Yiddish is the only language specific to a religion.
Interesting. Somebody in the comments disprove us if that's wrong. I think we're probably about at time on this episode, unless there's anything that you guys just have burning that you need to discuss.
Metalheads, you're not oppressed at all. It's just like it just shows like a huge mountain of ignorance to feel that way in respect to, like, you know, maybe somebody higher up in the social ladder is in on it, kind of take something that comes from what you love, and it's just really like, I get that it irks you the wrong way, but to use words like oppressed and appropriation, and even like, I'm still kind of iffy about the whole culture thing. Like, yes, subculture, I can take that, but like, to call heavy metal culture that can be appropriated when this really isn't a genre that's supposed to have any sort of like main race or nationality of any kind or whatever, it just shows like how you just have like a lot of growing up to do and how you react over this stuff. If you feel like that, you know, maybe it's a bit disrespectful, I can kind of get that. But it's definitely nothing worth kind of going off about in the ways that some of these guys are going off. And I mean, let's be honest. I think that a lot of these reactions are deeply rooted in sexism. Like, especially when you have people like, I'm blanking on the name, Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus was like wearing an Iron Maiden shirt at some point, and everybody was kind of going off on her, even though, what, Iron Maiden's like one of the biggest metal bands of all time, and those guys like are billionaires. And then like Miley kind of fires back, like, look, you know, here's some songs that I know, and here's some other things. And it was just, I felt so icked out that she kind of had to do that. Like, any woman had to do that, you know?
Oh, you're an anal cunt fan? Name their right. 10 best songs.
Right. So it's just like, you know, sort of check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know, you're kind of whining about your culture, but it's just sort of like, you know, it's just sort of a backwards logic, because why do you feel like your culture is being robbed from you because these people that you think don't belong in it are getting involved somehow?
Yeah, you're not oppressed. Nobody's appropriating anything from you. People are just, you know, trying to look fly. You should do that too. And just, for yeah. once, be happy. I mean, like, the cool kids are wearing what you normally wear anyway. People might confuse you briefly because eventually you'll open your mouth and they'll know.
They'll find out.
But briefly, somebody could think that you theoretically might even be cool. So cherish that, because it'll never fucking happen again.
Right. It's like that one Death Metal Underground article where they said, hey guys, we have to shave because beards are cool. And so there was a whole article about shaving.
Oh, man. My favorite Death Metal Underground posts are about pipe smoking. That's not like a euphemism or anything. They're just really into pipe tobacco, which is about the biggest, like, lamest affectation I can imagine.
Do you think, was it like a corn cob? Was it like a nice classic walnut curled style?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smoking jacket and the whole nine.
And that's just like such a like 16-year-old idea of what a smart, cultured man does is smoke from a goddamn pipe.
Too much Simpsons for one night.
Yeah. That's all I got, man. This has been your episode of Toilet Radio for the week. The Patreon episode should be going live, I think, today as well, that this one's going live. So we discuss on that episode, it's been, what is it we discuss on that episode? Oh, yeah, it was the military and patriotism and bands that sing about the military and patriotism. Spoiler, we're not big fans of it. I think we clowned on a 13-year-old for 10 minutes on that episode, so be sure to subscribe so you can hear that one.
John Schaefer isn't 13.
Mentally.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Later.